Om Shanti, and very warm heart welcome, dear DDC. We are so happy that you are with us today. Are you happy? Please close one hand, yeah. And we have very, yeah, and we have also our sister Claudia, dear DD, Om Shanti, and welcome. This is Claudia, she is from Peace Village, and she is also with us today. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Good morning. So I have the honor here to interview Sister Jenti. And just the topic is, I think I forgot to mention one word, Jenti Ben. It's building capacity as a constant bestower. That's the topic. And I'm assuming all of us know very well Sister Jenti, but just to recap, she is the another additional administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris worldwide. She's also the director of all the Brahma Kumari activities in Europe and the Middle East. And she has led the delegations at the UN in Geneva, especially for the climate change conferences since 2009. My personal experience of Jenti Ben is one, actually, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, but my very first experience with the Brahma Kumaris, I was curiously entered into inner space in Covent Garden in 1997, and Jenti Ben was giving a talk, and one of the qualities that I very much appreciate about her is this clarity of the intellect. And on that day I remember something happened because my intellect opened wide up. The others is an experience of in her drishti is just clearing up my vision. So I feel there's this quality of clarity that's so beautiful. And in addition to that, it's just this warmth, presence, full attention that makes everyone feel at ease and feel comfortable and accepted. And then on top of that, I feel this constant server flying here and there as a flying angel, constantly serving groups and individuals and talks and leaders around the world, and nothing will stop her. I often feel like the way your pace is in terms of your walk would be like Brahma Baba. So he keeps moving forward fast. So again, the topic today is building capacity as a constant bestower, and I think...
Do people know who you are?
Oh.
You have to tell us a little bit about you.
Yes, name is Claudia, and Sister Claudia, I've been living at Peace Village for the last 4 years. I first came into Gyan in 97. I'm also involved in some of the activities through the UN with Sister Gayatri in New York, and especially the Sheep Shakti program in the USA. And also globally. And then obviously at Peace Village, which is...
She's also a facilitator and creator of workshops and new methods to introduce souls to Baba.
Okay, thank you. So I think the first question we have here is, what is it essential for us to understand from Baba about being a bestower, and what's important that we need to be inculcating?
I don't want to put off anybody, but my deep, deep feeling is that the one who's truly the bestower is God, and the way that I can be a master bestower is to make sure that there's a very clean, clear, honest relationship with the Divine in which my ego doesn't get in the way, because then I can be a channel and allow God to bestow whatever is the need. Yes, I've seen the dadis be amazing bestowers, and the dadis who most of us know, Didi, I think I'm the only one in the room who knew the original Didi. Now we have thousands of Didis, literally thousands, because everywhere I go, the sister in charge is a Didi. But Didi Manmohini, and she was the only Didi in the Yagya at that time. Everybody else was Dadi or sister. But Didi Manmohini, Dadi Prakashmani, Dadi Janki, Dadi Gulzar, they truly have been amazing bestowers. Mama, and it's been my fortune to have met all of them and experience how they were able to just allow Baba to work through them. And so I think that the best I can hope for is to be a master bestower, but that too, I really need to develop that very, very clear connection with Baba, not just when I sit to meditate, but at all times, so that then it is really, I don't know who's going to come in front of me, I don't know what's going to happen, and things become less and less sure and certain as time goes on. But to let Baba just work through each one of us, and I think that's going to happen. I think that as time moves on, all of us have to be bestowers wherever it is we are, because the scenes will be so overwhelming that we as just a human being or even a Brahman won't be able to manage. But if I'm a bestower, then I just have to focus on that link with Baba and then allow Baba to work through me. And I think that they remember many, many angels. They don't remember just one angel, a host of angels. And so wherever it is each one is, and you all come from many different places, many different corners, so wherever it is you are, to let Baba work through you. And building capacity means removing the ego that's blocking Baba coming through each one of us. And ego is highly subtle, highly dangerous, highly toxic. But that's the work that I think we have to do most of all. And then, whatever it is that each one needs, maybe someone needs happiness, maybe someone needs power, maybe someone needs clarity. So I don't even know what it is they need. But Baba will work through each one, and they will feel that it was God reaching them, which it was. And this is, I think, the way that not only will God be revealed, but also the concept of God omnipresent will get into everybody's heads to such a deep extent that it's difficult to change it. But I think bestower and building capacity is really totally dependent on my connection with Baba. And I think, who met Dadi Prakashmani? A good number. And so of course you met Dadi Janki and you met Dadi Gulzar. But each one of these souls, you saw how it wasn't their human personality that was in the way, but it was like they'd stepped away and Baba could work. And with Dadi Gulzar, of course, the amazing capacity to totally be absent and let Baba Dada work. And in a way, she was absent. She would say that, Baba, put me to rest. And I was resting. And so this is why when she would get off the gadi, and of course, early days, those of us who met Baba in Om Shanti Bhavan. How many met Baba in Om Shanti Bhavan? A good number. So you remember those days when she'd have come on the gaddi maybe 6:45, no later than 7, usually earlier. And then the earliest she would get off the gadi would be 1 a.m. Sometimes it would be 4 a.m. and once it was even 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. So she'd been on the gadi for longer than 12 hours and she would get off the gadi and just march away. And she wasn't slow, she was very speedy. Excuse me. But it meant that, you know, if we sit cross-legged on a gati for 10 minutes, half an hour, that's enough. And then we fidget and we want to move and change. And even 10 minutes now, as the population of Brahmins is aging, even 10 minutes is not possible. But she would sit on the gati and come off the gati and walk as if she'd been sitting there 2 minutes. So it was definitely her ability just to step away and let Baba rest her, and Baba would be working. That was the extreme example in a sense. But the other dadis too, you could just feel Baba through their drishti, through the words they were saying. With Dadi Janki, so often she'd be meeting people who she didn't even know. And we'd give her two-liner information. If we tried to feed her information beforehand, she'd be occupied with so many other things that you couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so it would just be a two-liner in front of the person. But she would say something that would touch them. And afterwards they would say, I didn't ask a question, but Daddy knew what was in my mind and answered the question. Mm-hmm. So, being a bestower, just able to give, but only when I've finished the ego of I.
What would you say are those subtle checkings that you found are important to remove?
If there's still any thought of sorrow, why do they say this? They shouldn't have said this, and it's causing me a bit of pain, a bit of sorrow. Well, that's my ego. If there's the thought, it should be like this, I am right, that's my ego. Mm-hmm. It's the drama. So whatever is right is what is happening. And yes, I can make sure I'm accurate, but drama will move in its own way. And each one has their own destiny that will play out. And I can't make anyone do anything differently. And so these are some of the aspects of ego that come up in a very human way, a very natural way. Mm-hmm. And we feel, but of course it's right. You know, this is wrong, and so it shouldn't be like this. Well, who am I to be the judge? I don't know what's behind whatever is said or whatever has happened. There's a thousand things that have happened before this particular thing happened, and so I just have to make sure that my stage is right. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I have no control, either circumstance or people. Have you tried to change anyone?
I
have. But I'm surprised no one else is acknowledging. I'm sure everybody has tried to change someone in their life. If only they could do. And it doesn't happen. So Baba will say, when you're pointing here, three fingers are pointing here. So can I change myself? And if I can change myself and become a cleaner and more clean, more pure instrument, then I'll stop complaining. Why?
Mm-hmm. And it seems that this, the example...
Is the mic okay for you?
Is that okay? Can you hear? Yeah. It seems the example you gave with Dadi Janki was she had such a clean heart. Baba's been talking a lot about more subtle than is our thoughts, and he's really in the 18th of January, Milan Murli, he talked about needing to be removers of all waste. What is it you feel that is still we need to realize in order to make this fast effort?
I don't think we appreciate so deeply as we need to how deep body consciousness is. I'll give you one simple example. I didn't know what is anger till I was about 25. I knew what it was to get upset, but I didn't think that was anger. And now Baba's told us getting upset is anger. Mm-hmm. So anger in its gross form, I didn't know till around that age, and by then I'd already been living in a center for a few years. And so what was happening was that you were expecting people who'd said yes to follow that through in terms of service, not for you, but for service. And then they turn up late, or they didn't turn up, or something. And so I'd get angry. First it was a bit of irritation. And then when something went really wrong, I got angry. And I realized that it's very deep and I have to change. Until it came out in that very aggressive form, I didn't even think I needed to change. But when it came out in that way, I realized that I need to do something about it. So I think that we don't always appreciate how deep any particular sanskara is, and not just anger. Anger is deep for many, many. We don't know how many births we've had to deal with it. And it's there. Like even getting upset is anger. Baba's interpretations and explanations are so vastly different to what the world says that, you know, you really have to be in tune with Baba and catch what Baba's saying and know that it's for me. Not just that what Baba's saying is beautiful or powerful or interesting and it's for everyone else, it's for me. And so when I take it on board and I really feel that it's for me, then from that moment on, I'm going to start changing.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst my vision is out there, they should change. I'm not looking at myself. And when I start looking, and then of course, whatever else there may be, the attachment, the anger, the greed, the deepest of all is ego. And so my identity changed from here to here. And that happened 2,500 years ago. And so we've carried that with us for a very long time. And the amount of time I've invested in practicing soul consciousness is nowhere near the amount that I've had of ego. And so I don't think we realize how deep our effort needs to be to go deeper and deeper inside. But this is why Sakar Muralis, every single Murali, how many times in one Murali does Baba say, be soul conscious, have the faith you are a soul. Very often Baba uses this term, have the faith that you are a soul. So my belief system, my faith has to change away from I am American, I am Indian, I am white, I am brown, and culture, customs, food, all of this is associated with this.
Mm-hmm.
One person I know loves Madhuban, and for the first few years she would come and spend long days in Madhuban. In those days it was a little family. And Daddy Kumarka used to say, yes, stay longer, stay longer, stay longer. Nirbhay Bhai used to say, you want to change your ticket? I'll help you change your ticket. And Daddy Janki would say, when are you going back? It was very interesting. And so, get back. But there was one thing she would always miss in Madhuban. fresh baked bread. And she'd come back to London, and especially we're in Tennyson Road in those days, and so it's a tiny little house. Some of you have seen it, some of you haven't. But as soon as you enter the front room, the corridor, the kitchen is a few feet away, and so the smell of fresh baked bread. And so as soon as she steps into Baba's house after having been away, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. But it's culture, isn't it? You grow up with something, and so that's what's there deep in your memory, in your tongue, in your taste buds. And so for some it would be pakoras. You smell pakoras being fried. But can I get away from all of that, all of that, all of that, just with the practice of this?
Does that, it seems that is also, you know, I think for me I'm in this mode of what's the fast effort, because Baba's wanting, especially all of us, to last so fast. I know that the UN often refers to, especially for those in the secular world, the spiritual trajectory, awareness participates, change in awareness, change in attitude, change in vision, and that's change in actions, then culture, and then worlds. Can you start at any place? Because the one thing about a lot of the work that I've done in the world is really looking deeply at the social cultural context and how that shapes our behavior. And culture, you're right, is so deep. Is it a matter of patience and maturity and practice, or is there some deeper secret that we can all learn?
I think the deepest secret is to really go into the subject of awareness. But where is it that awareness begins? It's what I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I'm churning. And if what I'm churning through the day is you, 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 and you, it's human faces and human ideas that are coming into my consciousness, then to get to awareness is very difficult.
Mm.
And so you have to start just at the very simple level of thought, which is why Baba doesn't even use this word smriti to begin with. That comes later. But just my thought patterns, sankalp. What is the quality of my thinking? And for some, food dictates everything. And that's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It really is something that is a very powerful motivator. And maybe it's because in some birth I was deprived. Maybe I've noticed this. The people who grew up as children during the Second World War in the Western world, they have a big thing about food.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you see them, they're now 80 years old. And they still have this big thing about hoarding food.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going back to their childhood when there was no food available. And so the little that you got, you try to make it last as long as you could. So maybe it's of this birth, maybe it's of past births, who knows. But just check, what is it that I spend the most of my time thinking about? And it's not necessary that it's because somebody has virtues that I'm thinking about them, but maybe somebody has been behaving what I feel is badly towards me. It might be my perception, but that's how I've taken it. And maybe that's in my mind. I wish they would change. I wish they'd stop doing this. I wish they'd, you know, whatever, whatever. You know, it's like when you have an exam, then even if it's a driving test, not even a big exam, but it's in your mind, at the back of your mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a moment to spare and it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so just check, what is it that's popping up in my mind again and again and again? My grandchild, again, people have raised children being in Gyan, and they were detached from their children, they were quite maybe even strict with their children, and the grandchild comes along, all the rules go by the wayside. Detachment is forgotten. And I see this happening all the time, because now in London we have sisters and brothers who are now 50 years and young. And so very much it's the children, grandchildren. So let me start working on that. This is why Baba keeps emphasizing just a simple thought. I'm that eternal soul.
Mm-hmm.
Different ways to put it. I'm God's child. I'm the inner light. So different labels, but different thoughts to just bring you back in here. And of course, that's then going to connect you with Baba. And the easiest way to connect with Baba is, what did Baba say today?
Mm.
If I ask you, what did Baba say today? Does it instantly pop into your mind? Or do you have to scratch your mind a bit? And then you begin to remember mm-hmm. one sentence, a few sentences, and then of course many points come up.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't instantly always come up in everyone. And that's because between the time I heard the Murali, my thoughts weren't with Baba, my thoughts were with everything else that's going on, even in Madhuban.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much interesting activity, many people to meet. Oh, I haven't spoken to that one, I wonder, you know. And so there's a lot of distractions if I allow it to be distractions. If I say, yes, I'd like to meet you. What is it about Baba that you love the most? I turn my conversation to the point where Baba is the focus. And so if I'm doing that, then yes, I'll instantly remember what did Baba say this morning. Otherwise I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing Baba and Baba's Gyan into my thoughts, which is why Baba talks about churning.
Mm-hmm.
Churn Gyan. The more you churn Gyan. And this is then, of course, the other problem that we're facing at the moment. We have a whole range of amazing teachers. When it was the Dadis, at least it was maybe 6 or 8 Dadis. And usually, what you would feel in their presence is Baba's presence. And yes, you'd say, Dadi said this, Dadi said that, but your attention would be drawn to Baba. And the distraction today, which is also the service today, is that there's at least 20 different teachers who are brilliant, some new, some old, whatever it is. And the focus then goes on the human.
Mm-hmm.
You love what they are saying, and it is beautiful what they are saying, no denial of that. But instead of thinking, where do they get it from? Could they have said all of that without Baba having given them Gyan? But so often I find the big maya today is the human teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it on purpose. That's not their intention. And if you talk to them, they'll say, I'm doing Baba's service, which is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But for humans who are not making that inner effort just to stay connected with Baba, it's the human that they'll focus on. And of course, at some point of time, they get disappointed in the human, because human beings are all effort makers. But for a time, that person becomes the focus for them, instead of Baba being the focus. If you think about Sakar Muralis, how often is it that Shiv Baba is speaking through the mouth of Brahma, and Brahma Baba is listening? He's not at that moment resting. Dadi Gulzar was resting when Bab Dada was speaking. But here Brahma Baba is listening. And he's hearing Shiv Baba say, don't remember anyone except me. Can you imagine the humility
yeah.
it creates within the self as you hear Shiv Baba saying, don't remember this one, remember only that one. So Brahma Baba's practice of humility and his total stage of egoless
mm-hmm.
in which Shiv Baba is able to say all this and Brahma Baba doesn't feel bad about it. So you can see how deep the practice Shiv Baba taught Brahma Baba to make. Sometimes when we were translating for Daddy, and Daddy would make a comment about me or Manda, and one of us was translating, we had to be very detached. Because she'd be teasing us sometimes, she'd be complaining about us sometimes, and we were translating. So it was a good training. But nobody gets that sort of training anymore. And so we have to train ourselves. Can I really see, where are my thoughts going? What's going on in my mind? Is it jnana that's going on in my head? And is it the practice of soul consciousness? Then the awareness, in which it's like before jnana, I'm always aware I'm a woman. There's never a moment when you're free from that, or a man. You're just not free. And it starts when you're this high. I mean, you see little boys pushing little girls around. Really? And it's still happening today, in a day when there's supposed to be equality. It's not. It's not. So, getting rid of that awareness. I, the soul, God's child, the shining star. It has to be so deeply, deeply practiced. And so, Sakar Murli, Baba's not just repeating. Baba's instilling. Baba's trying to make it very clear to me that this is the first and fundamental subject I have to give attention to.
Mm. Do you feel that many of us probably fall into this trap of saying it's almost like a check mark, we think we've got that. And then the other aspect of this is practice. How have you found it to, because I think for where I'm at on my own journey, it has to be enjoyable and interesting. And I think the other thing that's coming back in is making it playful. But I have been a studious study and student in life, and sometimes I actually didn't have any other, extra courses or, you know, that were more fun, and I really wish I had, because I was very going for core and, you know, being very serious. But I feel I'm at a stage where it has to be enjoyable. So what do you feel, because especially with the churning, what makes it enjoyable for you?
Well, just even the practice of soul consciousness, if I can just check, am I seeing the shining star in you and you and you? Here's somebody going on about whatever it is they're going on about. Can I still keep smiling and seeing them as a soul? There's nothing more entertaining than life when you see it that way.
I see it that way, yes.
And when you think about dramas, you know, something deep and serious, that's not how Baba's seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Baba's saying, have fun. Baba's saying, laugh and sing. And if you keep laughing and singing, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
More quickly than otherwise. You'll get there anyway, maybe. But it'll be a greater experience, a beautiful experience. We saw this in Daddy. Daddy Janki, very serious early days in London. There was somebody who had been with Daddy in the 70s. Then they left to go on holiday. And they came back in the 90s, so it was a long holiday. And by the time Daddy was then in Global Cooperation House, and when he'd been with Daddy, it had been a group of 20 people. And her classes were powerful and intense. And by the time he got to Global House and he saw Daddy addressing 300-400 people every morning, there was morning class, 300-400 people. And she'd be making them laugh, she'd be making them. And then finally, towards the end, it was 5 minutes class, and then she'd say, who can sing? Somebody would stand up and they would sing, and then she'd ask the sound people to play the dance music, and she'd be tapping her feet. So there is a change from, and it's a needed change. I see how Daddy's service in those early days created, I've mentioned somebody went away on holiday, but there were dozens who stayed, mm-hmm. and they became teachers for the world. The people all of you know now, they were trained by Daddy. So it was because she was firm, she was serious, she was strong, and it has to be like this. Mm-hmm. And then later, she also mellowed, they mellowed, and today it's a different world anyway. But yes, it needs to be enjoyable. So seeing each one as a soul is very enjoyable. Mm. And you can keep checking yourself. Am I remembering what they were like yesterday? Or am I seeing them as they are today? Or even better, am I seeing them as Baba sees them? And every scene of drama can be a smile.
And in some ways, that what the feeling is that you tap into, you know, how Baba says that it's second by second, there's newness in the drama each second, to be present in that. That's what brings the joy.
Definitely. And also because you know that whatever it is now is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Here's somebody being very stubborn and obstinate, and see them as a soul, Baba's child, see the speciality, and they'll change.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep seeing them with a vision of yesterday, the response you're going to get back from them is like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be any change.
Interesting. So what I'm also hearing in what you're saying is that it's vital for us to return to the Murli, the day's Murli, either in our thoughts or in revision, and that's where we're going to get the power.
And that's where you're going to get the direct instructions from God. What did Baba say today? And am I using that in my life today? So the whole thing about using Gyan is practicing what Baba told me this morning. Then it's different every day. Who is it who can come up with all these images and analogies, and not just one every day, but several every day?
Yes, like today.
And it's beautiful because it really keeps your mind ticking in a fresh way rather than stagnate in something of the past. Just take what Baba is giving today, and then you can be a bestower.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stuck in the past, whether in words or, you know, in the way you behave with people, then how can you give anything from God today? But whatever is coming from God today, allow it to reach you and work through you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the capacity building of a bestower really is as an instrument. We still need to build every day those virtues, those powers, so Baba can use them? Is that?
Can I experiment? It's something that Baba's been talking about a lot again. Experiment in yoga. And we've had a lot of help in recent times. A big variety of things to experiment with. But the avyakta signals, we've been having these for a couple of years now. I mean, we were getting them before, but they weren't getting translated and they weren't getting added to the Murli. Then since last year,
mm-hmm.
you're getting the full translation of the avyakta signals. They were coming in what was called patrapushp, the letter that the Dadi... It started way back with Dadi Kumarka, that the letters were coming, but as I say, we've only properly given them focus and attention since last year. What did Baba say as the avyakta signal for today? And am I practicing that today? And you'll find that you're covering the whole spectrum. of all the virtues, all the powers. And because you're practicing those things, you're developing those things within yourself. And so it's not that I need to think about being a karma yogi, how do I become a karma yogi, but Baba's telling me every day with that signal, how can I become a vyakta? So just imagine 31 now, that's right, we've had 31 points of how to be a vyakta. And so the word is the same, a vyakta, but all the different aspects, and if you've been practicing those, and go back to the one before and the one before, you can see that Baba's within the whole study of Raj Yoga, there's been different developments, and the development in this case now has been the focus on one particular quality and working on that level in different ways within that one quality, so that A, we first even understand what that is. Because, say for example, like this word karma yoga and avyakt, we always used to say, we don't have time. We don't have time for practicing all of this. And what's come through all these different points that have been coming recently is, Brahma Baba did not make separate time, except the early morning hours, for himself, but he practiced staying in yoga whilst engaged in karma. And so, yes, if you can take a week out for silence, brilliant, do it. But if you can't take a week out for silence, don't complain about it. It's your fortune that you're involved in service. So treat it in that way and say, okay, well, how can I make the best possible use of this? Yes, let me do service, let me do the karma, but let it be with a higher frequency, with a higher awareness. And so, Baba's training us, and we don't always see it in that way, because it's for everyone. But each one is interpreting these things and practicing these things at their own level. Example, I've read or heard in person every single one of the avyakta murali since 1969. But I remember through the period of the early 70s, 69, 70, 71, the muralis were like up here. And I'd only been in Gyan for properly a couple of years. And so in my mind it was always that Baba saying this to the dadis. And then when we started revising these muralis, which was about maybe 10 years ago, I said to Dadi Janki, when I used to hear this, I thought of all of you, and that this was meant for all of you. I didn't realize it was meant for me also. And so now that I realize it's for me also, now I'm giving it a different attention. But I think the space that we're in now, where we're so close to the edge of transformation, I think all of us, and especially because it's coming in a two-liner or a three-liner at the most, it's easier for us to assimilate and say, yes, this is for me. When it was part of three pages, five pages, avyakta muralis used to be 8 pages long. Because Baba would be addressing every single group separately. And of course today we just get 3 pages, full stop. But we also get the two liners. And so the study has been made more and more condensed, so that it's easier and easier for us all to feel, it's for me. And can I practice these things now? So even if you've come later to Baba than others, it's okay, because you're getting everything now, and you're getting it in a very condensed form, and you just have to practice.
That feels like a very subtle checking point for all of us. Is it? Am I really seeing it's for me, or what am I seeing is for me?
There was a nice point that Dadi Janki used to make. She never sat with paper and pencil or pen and paper, because way back early days, in the days of History Hall, when she did sit with notebook and pen and Baba was speaking, Baba said to her, "Don't look at the paper, look at me." And from that time on, she stopped using pen and paper, at least for notes. And then she would say, in the last period, the avyakt murali is a mirror for me. Mm-hmm. I'm checking to see what it is I've done already and more, what more I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so if I can take muralis in that way also, a checking point, really, how far have I come and how much more I need to do. Mm-hmm. Then again, it's part of my student life. And if my desire to learn finishes, ego comes in big time. I know. But no, there's things I still don't really know, and I won't really know them until I've practiced them.
It's an interesting thing you're bringing up. I've always felt that, you know, it's in Baba's knowledge that when we imbibe that, it transforms into light in some way. And there's also the happiness that comes from that. Is that something you can speak to?
That's absolutely a fact. If I'm just listening and enjoying while I'm listening, the joy of being God's student, the intoxication of being God's helper, none of that happens. I've heard the murali, I'm attending class every day, I'm taking notes every day, but I'm not thinking about it. And if I can't think about it, how can I practice it? If there's other stuff going on in here, I mean, really, if you get down to the basics, this is what Baba's telling me, what is the quality of my thinking? Mm. And if my thinking is gross, I can't even be a Raj Yogi, truly. Never mind being an angel or a deity or anything else, but even to be really a true Raj Yogi, connected with God, the master of the physical senses, the ruler of the senses, it's only when I think about Baba's Gyan and practice Baba's Gyan. But I think that's why it's taken so long. Mm-hmm. You know, Baba became avyakt 57 years ago, and here we are, still trying. So, the difference between Mama and everyone else and why she became Mama. Do you know how long it took Mama to become Mama? 18 months. From the time she came as a Kumari to the time she became the mother. Now just imagine the world mother, the mother of the Yajna, the mother even of her own Laukik mother. Mm-hmm. Now the difference was that she heard and she practiced. Mm. It was instantly visible in her life. And this is why even before she was given the title Mama, the others, not just the sisters, but the brothers and the sisters would come to her and say, "Baba talked about it today, we see it in your life now. What did you do?" Mm. And she would then spell it out for them. And so she became Mama. Now, out of 400 people, one becomes Brahma Baba, one becomes Mama, but it was their effort. It wasn't just, it was fixed in drama. It mm-hmm. became fixed in drama through their effort.
What would be an example of what Mama would say as, you know, what did you do?
Tolerance. Baba would be talking about tolerance, and Mama would think deeply about it, because Mama was quite fashionable and part of a different world, having grown up in Bombay. You know, it's like you're living in New York and somebody comes from some little village somewhere in the outback. And so coming to Hyderabad was like coming to some outback place, very, very different in culture and mentality and everything. Mm-hmm. So Mama was into singing, dancing, fashion, mm-hmm. and none of the others were. And so they saw very visibly the change in Mama, the introspection, now the capacity to accept, to tolerate, not tolerate grinding your teeth, but acceptance with an open heart of everyone there, being able to accept each one as they are. Now they saw that change in Mama. How did you do it? And she'd explain.
Nice. You know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier, but a unique capacity is, especially of you and your role in service in the world, is to be abreast of what's happening. You know, we're all, you know, in the world, but not of the world. And for many of us, I know for us who live at Peace Village and others, sometimes you can feel a little distant from the world and from the sorrow that souls are experiencing. And so would be the role, you know, that, you know, how much, or is it a form of motivation versus distraction?
I think it's up to each one to decide what is the limit, because Dadi Kumarka, Dadi Gulzar, both used to read the newspaper in the afternoon. After lunch, there'd be free time, and they'd both be reading the newspaper in Hindi. So they kept up with the times in terms of headlines. They didn't spend more than 10 minutes reading a paper. Some people want to read every single word. Or nowadays it's not so much newspapers, it's whatever comes up on your screen. You can get a summary of the news of the world in 3 minutes, right? It's a 3-minute span. So why do I need 30 minutes reading or finding out the ins and outs and the detail? There's a flood somewhere. Well, it's useful to know that. Am I thinking about Baba's children? Do I need to phone them? Do I need to send them a message? Worse than floods, it could be anything else nowadays. But can I at least be aware of what Baba's children are doing and what's happening to them everywhere? I remember I was in Costa Rica in September, just for a few days. Mm-hmm. And very soon after that, there was such a huge flood there that the center had water up to here. Their refrigerator wasn't working, the gas cooker, everything, and of course you can imagine the rest. So just to send them a note, how you're doing, what's happening, and they're happy that you remembered them and you're concerned about them. So even on a very human level of the Brahmin family, it's so important. Right now, the situation in Iran, and somebody sent a message that I wasn't aware of it because I haven't been able to read anything of the news for the last 8-10 days. But when I read this message from this Brahmin, that there are thousands being killed there, can we have some yoga? And then the next message she wrote, I haven't been able to be in touch with anyone, but today one of the sisters in Tehran phoned me and said that the Brahmin family is all fine, but everyone knows someone who's been killed, but the BK family is okay. So, example of why it's important to know what's going on. But do I need to get into the detail? One is to get into the detail, but the other is to take sides. Am I going to take this side? Am I going to take that side? It's Kali Yuga. I think the side is okay, but I don't know what's below the surface. I think this side's okay, and there are people telling me, no, it's not okay, but they don't know either. And so, not to take sides. That's again a very important lesson I learned from Dadi Janki right at the time of the fall of the Twin Towers. She was asked to give a message that same day, and she sent a message of remember peace, remember God, something like that. But within that, the sentence I never forget is her saying, it's important not to take sides or pass judgment.
I have many more questions I would love to ask you, but I think what we'll do is give you the opportunity to take us into meditation. But I think, thank you so much for being here. And I don't know about all of you, but this aspect of really getting back to basics, to really, really checking our thought patterns and really being honest with ourselves about that, and then changing that and allowing that to bring that lightness and that joy is what I'm, one of the things that I'm taking from today. So.
One of the things that came to me just now was, if you want to be a bestower, you can't take sides. Mm. Baba is a bestower for all, not for this side or this side. There's no goodie and baddie. And so I also have to learn to be as neutral as Baba in that way and really not take sides, but be able to be up above so that I can see that all this is part of the unfolding scenario of drama. And you don't know what's below the surface.
And that was one of the questions was how to move from limited to unlimited. That seems
I have to be up above. Mm-hmm. That stage of not just being an observer or a witness, not getting into feelings, but just simply facts. A witness has to relay facts, not mm-hmm. feelings. But even up above, beyond that, I just have to be with Baba, the one who's the bestower for all.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions.
Good. Okay.
You want a meditation with a commentary or just silent?
A meditation with a little bit of commentary to kind of bring us to close. We've about 10 minutes.
Stay. Aware of the soul, I shine. I connect with Baba and feel the light, the love, the might reach me from the source. And this awareness of connecting with the source, I know that the light, the love, the purity and joy is not only reaching me, but is reaching out beyond this place to all the corners of the world. Baba's light is making souls realize it is time for something new. It's time for change. Baba's love is reaching all souls, giving them hope. as the love awakens hope and souls begin to feel God's love healing them. They begin to feel joyful. The dark night is coming to an end. The day is about to begin. The things that were holding me back, the negativity, the false concepts, all the illusions, the bondages that God's might have broken. In this awareness of the Almighty, who is also my Baba, I know that Satyuga is very close. Baba, the bestower, showers each one with all treasures. And each soul takes according to their capacity and their desire. Each one is fulfilled. And we help Baba in creating this beautiful world of Satyug. Om Shanti.